Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Now more than ever, American companies are confronted with the need to perform at their peak or suffer the consequences of the current economic condition. Marvin Davis has made a career out of transforming underperforming companies. He assesses their mistakes, issues a diagnosis, and has helped allay the fears of many CEOs across the country, leaving businesses more efficient and ultimately more competitive. In Take No Prisoners, he gives hardline, tough love solutions to the real and difficult problems that hinder profitability. AMA's Doug Zohn spoke to Marvin.
Marvin, welcome to Edgewise.
Happy to be here.
As a turnaround expert, you have helped many executives to transform their underperforming companies, and you have now taken your extensive knowledge and real-world experience and have written a new book. Why is there a need for such a book in these times?
A lot of companies should be doing the types of things I describe in the book from the very inception. As one of my endorsers on the book said, if I had known about these kinds of actions that I could take many years ago, I would have avoided a lot of mistakes. I feel it's really a service to be giving them this type of information and helping people avoid common traps that companies get into and maximize their profitability. Most companies don't operate at 100%. You don't have to be sick to get better. What I endeavor to do in my book is show people who are not in turnaround situations, who are not in trouble, how to bring their corporate excellence and morale up to the maximum that they can.
Marvin, what kind of companies have you worked with, and are there stories or interesting case studies that you could share with us of what companies have or haven't done correctly in a turnaround situation?
The book is filled with anecdotes about various situations that I've found myself in. I've run over 100 companies. Now, some of that's for a very short period of time while we get them well and then pat them on the rear end and send them on their way. But the funniest one is the story I tell about one company where I had required mandatory drug testing. We had a candidate come in for a chemist's position, and I got a phone call from the testing agency. Very unusual for me to get the call. This was a large company, so the vice president of personnel would normally get that phone call. He said, I thought it would be worthwhile telling you that the urine that we tested was not human urine. So I had visions of this guy chasing his dog around the backyard to get a urine sample. And that's just one of hundreds of stories that I tell in my book, because as you can imagine, having been in the turnaround business and having done this kind of business for a long period of time, there's a million stories. Most of them relate to how people have utilized the suggestions that I make in the book.
Is there a single factor or mistake that prevents companies from reaching optimal performance?
The biggest thing, and it's really a combination of two, they're really the same thing, is fear and inertia. Companies quite often know the right thing to do, but they're afraid to move and afraid to take the action. Typical of this is pricing, for example. Companies running along well, yet it's not optimal. A lot of CEOs and managers and sales managers are always afraid to go back and look at pricing and look at the ways you should be pricing because they're afraid of losing business. And in my book, I discuss ways of doing that where they don't lose business, where, in fact, business is enhanced. It's called niche pricing. I've done this over and over again, and I've constantly met resistance, not from the marketplace, but from internal managers in implementing this.
So pricing of a company's products and services is probably one of the greatest opportunities for them to actually maximize their performance?
Sure, because it drops immediately to bottom line. You don't have to modify the product. You don't have to do anything else. All you have to do is change your price sheet, but you have to know how to do it. You just can't do it across the board. You've got to pick your spots. And I give a technology and a methodology to do that in the book. That is a key opportunity within a company. In virtually every company I've gone into, I've been able to drop some dollars to the bottom line by taking some pricing action.
Are there other issues besides pricing that hamper performance that don't have an immediate impact but are lurking beneath the surface?
Yeah, personnel issues. Every company in the United States, every major company, has gone through downsizings and reductions in personnel. But they don't do it right. They do massive layoffs, which deplete their staff. They don't do it according to their needs. I show how to do it according to needs. If you offer early retirement, which is a typical way of reducing staff, you get rid of your most talented people, the people who have the most knowledge. If you do it according to seniority, you get rid of your rising stars. The way to do it is in a much more scientific way, saying what are the needs of the company and matching the people to those needs. And again, you have to do it in a scientific manner. Also, if I go into a company, I'll be talking to a bunch of CEOs, say, in a seminar or something. I'll ask them, is there one person, if you could modify your company today, that you wouldn't have there? Everybody raises their hand. So they know who they have to get rid of in order for the company to progress. But they've been reticent to do it, maybe out of fear, maybe out of compassion. If they all raise their hand, that means they're not optimizing their operations.
Now, you've been talking about fear, and in the book, you write that it takes a tough love, a hardline solution to solve the real-world problems that hinder performance. What do you mean by that?
You've got to be very pragmatic in your approach to problems. You got to say, I've got a problem. I need to fix it. Or this area is not performing the way it should. I need to fix it. You have to do those kind of things. Remember, you're talking about the long-term survival and long-term improvement of the company. And in order to do those kind of things, you got to be honest with yourself and you got to be honest with those in the company. That's what I mean by tough. If you're in a turnaround situation, you have to make those decisions because it's survival. But a lot of companies may be floating along at a suboptimal level, and there's no pressure for them to make those kinds of decisions. If they follow the suggestions I have in my book, they'll start to optimize their operations. We all operate at suboptimal levels. This is to help you get closer to that 100% goal.
Can the principles and solutions that you offer be applied to both private and public companies? And what about union or non-union environments, especially when it involves personnel decisions?
There are different requirements for public and private environments, but you can operate in exactly the same way. There are notification requirements in a public company that you have to be mindful of, but essentially there's no difference. I sit on the board of a public company right now. I do the same kind of things in that public company that I would in a private company. Private company sometimes tends to be a little bit faster. You can implement things a bit faster. In union and non-union environments, you have to remember that the union represents the people. But if you are able to go and explain your approach to the union, which I do, and make them understand what my goals are up front, I found them amazingly cooperative.
You are typically brought into companies as a turnaround expert, so obviously they were failing. Do you see any telltale signs of failure in the leadership that has led the company to that point? Are there any common threads to leadership leading to failure?
The key indication of failure is an inability to meet their own projections. If a company's in trouble or a company fails to meet its own projection on a consistent basis, there's something wrong. The other thing is that the company is really driven by top-down leadership. The old saying, the fish stinks from the head, is true. The CEO and the senior executives set the tenor for the whole company. So let's take Enron or some of the other companies of that ilk. That tenor of fraud and malfeasance was set by the management of the company.
Marvin Davis, author of Take No Prisoners, has joined us here in Edgewise. Thank you very much.
Happy to be here.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.